guess the cores on my new transmission line transformer are running practically ice cold. It's really amazing the efficiency of these things.
That is impressive. I should talk to you more about that in designing the new antenna system. That is very impressive, because I managed to smoke my and who knows, I might have cracked mine too. I heard you describing all of this at the beginning of the net.
Yes, it was a core failure. I've never had a core failure here before. It was, and that's probably the reason I had such a difficult time finding out what was wrong.
Yeah, I was going to say that's great detective work on your part. There are only two core failures I've had in my life, and I know of possibly a third from overheating, but I don't know yet. I have to take apart the amplifier to find out. I've been a lapse of memory, but the other one was when they sent it through the mail. The UPS people or the postal service, I forget which, they handled it so roughly that when it arrived, I had huge cores smashed and broken in half and so forth. So I photographed it. The company photographed
it and sent me a new one. That was good of them.
Yeah.
I hope the Postal Service compensated for it.
I don't know. They deserve to have done so, but I never heard back. The company just probably ate it. Well, you say you might have a keen ear, but it was interesting and important for me to hear from you people. I also commented, in addition to you, that I managed to duplicate the audio here pretty much to how it sounds from the original LibertyNet radio. So that was helpful. I did a lot of testing, and the way I did it was the true way. Not trying to listen to myself while I was talking, not recording myself, but actually transmitting it over the air to another radio of proper bandwidth, and then listening to a recording of that, or listening to it live while someone else is talking to the microphone to get the final adjustments done. But there will still be some final adjustments.
Yes, the my reception bandwidth right now, and when I was listening to your audio, runs from 300 cycles to 3 kilo cycles.
Yes, I noticed that on the fan adapter. I always thought that you said about how you have the advantage of not wasting energy by scanning out over too long of a range, but I see that you're good up to about 2.9 kilos anyway, and there's nothing down below, so you're not wasting anything there. Some really actually can pass audio quite low. I'd have to analyze it further over time, kind of teaching that, but I don't have to pick this with my little finger away from the line for the carrier point, which would represent, it looks like at least the bottom 100 hertz are missing. So you really are putting it through the piercing part. We're handling this pickup.
Yes, whatever. I don't have much control over the transmit bandwidth, but this TS-870 gives me quite a bit of control over the receive bandwidth.
Roger, it is a challenge to try to adjust my bandwidth for the crowded conditions of 80, or 75 meters, I should say, where we are right now on 3997. And make it sound good for the people with wide receivers, and yet still have to sound adequately fine for people with narrow banded receivers. Also, it preserves all the FCC recordings in a copy nearby operations and external tuning device that you have to narrow it and accentuate whatever frequencies are favorable to your ear. So our philosophy has been, from day one, to give everybody everything unfiltered, and from there, they can fine-tune themselves, what they're doing if they want to try to make it better. Or if they have the ability to decode to higher fidelity, let it
Marty, I'll talk to you in the next few. Marty, are you looking at people with a pan adapter right now, Brick?
Yes, I am, man. Yes, you did. I wanted to say that I thought that it left a while ago, too, finally, and I just verified that you're correct. It's gone. That carrier is gone. So I took away the notch. So for the rest of this recording, I'll be notchless. And, Jeff, did you want to know anything about how you look?
Yeah, I do. I don't know if you can capture a screenshot and email it to me or just tell me. I'm sure I don't sound as well as I do with my 100 Delta, the 857 Delta, from some audio you sent back to me over the air once. The 857 Delta doesn't sound as nicely as the 100 Delta does. I might dust off the 100D. I have the 857 Delta in line because the 100D's fans need fixing and replacing, and because the 100D doesn't cover 60 meters, which I operate on sometimes. So so I'm using the 857 Delta, so that's that, unfortunately. I also prefer the 100 Delta because it has a superior receiver, especially the automatic gain control works better, and well, one or two other finer synthesizer resolution as well, 1.2 hertz as opposed to 10 hertz being the finest increment. Anyway, so that's probably enough blather for you to give me some kind of assessment of how I sound over.
Yes, it looks like a amateur radio that's been unmodified. It's about 2.7, 2.6 KC in bandwidth, just like Vic. There's nothing at the bottom, at the low frequencies. But that's not to criticize and say that you're not very receivable, since we know where the intelligence comes from, in the presence band, so to speak, which is much higher than at the bottom end. In fact, it takes extra measures to eliminate, say, the bottom 150 hertz. It's for his ear, that's better. I managed to see most of your activity under 1,000 hertz, but you managed to go all the way up to, say, 2.7. So you have a very rich voice with, or the way you have it set to, at least, to take advantage of the full spectrum. And at certain times, there were certain peaks which, you know, normally there would be somewhat of a flat line, like generality going on during the transmission and averaging out. But I want to say that around, right around where it counts, right around, say, 2000, there was a repeating peak that apparently lets your voice get through. Why can't you use 160? I know why I can't use 160 meters effectively on my station at home. It can be used on 160 in the mobile because of the dummy load type antenna, which is only about, you know, 8 or 10 feet long on the back of the car. But when I have a good vertical antenna, as I'm speaking on right now, you know, who knows, the local broadcast station on 150 meters. Let's go back to the fact that there's nothing they can do about it, except what I eventually did, well, which I did actually before buying those, that was to get the FT-1000, which is a huge base radio with copper filtration, and the broadcast stations, for the most part, don't seem to bother it. The only time I can tell a little leak through is when I use my vertical antenna, and the local station is a few miles away, and they're also vertically polarized. But in any other circumstance, it's just fine. So anyway, why can't you use which radio on 160 meters, over?
Oh, I can use either on 160. No, it's 60 meters. I would have to Mars modify my 100 Delta for it to operate on 60 meters. The 857 Delta, which I bought, oh heavens, 6.5 years ago, right before I went to Jordan for the AMARC Radio Broadcasters Conference, that was right after 60 meters came into effect, so it has the old Channel 3. I have to hook this thing up to a computer, and one of your neighbors in New Jersey actually sent me an email file on how to do this. I got to hook the radio up to the computer to change 60 meter channel 3 from the old channel 3 to the new channel 3. But yeah, I can operate channels 1, 2, 4, and 5 legally, 3 illegally. but of course I wouldn't do that. But anyway, yeah. The 857 Delta is in line so that I can operate 60, not 160 meters. As far as 160 is concerned, well, my amplifier doesn't cover 160, unfortunately. I'm exciting an SB200, of course, with this 857. So I would have to operate 160 meters barefoot. Have done so with a horizontal L I cut for 160, but a storm took that out a couple of winters ago. Anyway, that's probably too much information, KB8UYJ.
The information is important to me, especially 160 meters. My hearing wrong. It's really sick. Actually, it's not 60 meters either. It's 56 meters, and that's what I always refer to it as, one of the few people who goes around saying 56. Just like I say Virgil instead of slam bar, but and I nearly go by standard time. But I will say this, that I won't buy a radio. I test my sociological growth by refusing to buy a radio, which is restricted. In one case, I did that, and I knew in advance that the radio was so-called Mars modifiable, and even though I didn't like doing it because it you know, goes against the sociological vote in the big picture, I did it, and all my radios are free. Liberty prevails here, including the radio I'm on now. I haven't tested it yet, but it acts like it will transmit from 27,000 cycles up to 65,000 cycles. Am I getting that right? Yeah, 27,000 to 65 megacycles. So, and you know, that's beyond 30 megahertz. But I don't know if that's true. I've heard that when they're open, they go from 1.6 megacycles to 30 megacycles. But I haven't had a chance to test that yet. I don't know. But the general country version, being an international traveler, I thought you might know about that. I thought I mentioned it before. My FT100D, I just need to go in and cut a diode or reprogram anything. I simply purchased from the first place. Radio called General Countries. Not FCC type approved, maybe, although I'm told that there really isn't that restriction that people say they're in, according to the QFT magazine at least. And in talking to Pentec Radio, they told me that it's true they're not really forced to restrict, but they like to stay on the good side of the FCC and interpret the wording of the law in such a way that the law never has any legal problems, and it's more of an attorney-type idea. What more than the United States. The Japanese produce a general country's radio, and eventually, it's already in existence. India produces a software-driven radio, like the one I'm using, except theirs, of course, is a general country's version, so it's open everywhere. What I've been told is that if you import one, if you buy one, you're importing it. So you're the importer, and you're not bound by any restrictions of having it, knock out on transmit everything except the amateur bands at the time. And it's a simple thing. Just in a matter of a few years, the FCC reassigned frequencies on 56 meters. And it left people like you in the lurch. So anyway, I'll never be in the lurch, and if there is a day that comes, as spoken about on SurvivalNet, maybe that would be a good thing to be able to transmit out of band. It's an artificiality to inhibit the radio. If the radio inherently can't, because the filters, the coils, the capacitors, and such are not fit for that resonance, that's understandable. That's in a band with the laws of physics. And I respect the laws of physics. And I respect, to an extent, the laws of good men. But we don't have good men making the law. So that's why I have to go out of country to go to general coverage. Excuse me, General Countries Radio. You have a menu in that, by the way, just like you do in the American version, FT100D. And that one allows you to select England or Germany or France, whatever countries have restrictions, it will impose them and lock it out. What it also allows me to do is to have features that United States versions don't even have, like over in Europe, apparently, repeaters, VHF, UHF, they have hertz tones, I think on 1750 hertz or something like that, to unkey the repeater if it's encoded. Over here, they use so-called subaudible tones, which are not subaudible at all, they're very audible. I have the versatility to use that radio. Thank you, RJ.
All right, fine. We should probably bring this to a close, Marty, because you're fading into the dirt and the mud and the slime and the weeds in the grass and the everything else. Unfortunately, the last, 30 to 60 seconds of that transmission was foundering, shall we say. The decks were awash under the floor of minimal acceptable intelligibility. I hope you're still hearing me. The band might be shifting, or maybe, if that power supply were going out, I'd hear it in your audio, so it's not that. You're just... You're thinking, Marty, KB8UIJ.
Yes, I agree about bringing it to a close. And according to this,
well, how much power are you giving me now, Marty? Just text me the answer to that question. I sent you a whole bunch of Skype IMs during the discussion this evening.
He faded out here, too. The signal is completely gone here in New Hampshire.
Yeah, roger that. The sun must have come up over New Jersey, Vic.
Yes, your signal is holding up, and there's been no fading at all on it.
Yeah, Raj, darkness fell on the state of Michigan, a couple of years ago, but seriously, yeah, you're blasting here. I assume you're on your horizontal antenna at the moment?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, you're blasting.
Anyway, I've got to get the sack, so I'm going to sign off once more and give my final salute to Mrs. Calabash.
Copy that, Vic. It was good to hear Vernon tonight. My God, Vern sounded very healthy and very spry. I don't even want to use the word spry because that's the kind of word you use on some 85-year-old. Vern's 91, but he sounds a good 30 years younger than that. He sounds younger than his age. That's good.
Yes, he's done a good job of preserving his telomere length.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to call him. I haven't spoken to him in a while. I got to call him. I showed up on one of his radio shows, but my cell phone connection croaked on me in the middle of his interviewing me on live air on one of his radio stations after Obama was elected. And well, I suppose these days, now that I have Skype on my telephone, I can just call him from a Wi-Fi hotspot and be assured of genuine broadcast quality audio hitting his producer's mixing board. So I might do that if he renews or extends his open invitation for me to participate in one of his talk shows to provide some sort of counterbalance to the people that he normally has on, including himself.
Yes, it would give his audience an exposure to true wide-spectrum audio.
A lot of people do that stuff these days, you know. Skype their feeds into call-in talk shows as they do, on this very net, for that matter. And as they do on various other ham radio nets. Marty and I used to participate in a morning net on 20 meters, which has a very, very significant Skype presence. And there's all sorts of people who are in antenna-restricted areas or who have moved to antenna-restricted areas or who are in a part of the world where the band isn't open, where 20 meters isn't open. The net control takes Skype calls to phone patch, to Skype patch. It's not a phone patch. I guess you'd have to call it a Skype patch. But anyway, to patch through to live air from net control station, and they just sound fantastic. Cell phones being patched through sound really terrible. Landlines sound bad enough, but cell phones sound even worse being patched through to anything KB8UIJ.
Yes, I don't have much of a high opinion of cell phones audio-wise, at least the ones I've encountered.
Well, it's actually not the cell phone. This is astonishing that I discovered this. I discovered this actually with Marty and with a couple of other people with whom I did technical tests with equipment, test equipment, but just how it sounds by ear. Marty was flabbergasted to hear how well I sounded, my audio sounded, either from the handset's microphone or from the microphone built into the headphones of my cell phone. Either way, I was giving him at his end very, very high quality audio and vice versa. So it's actually not the cell phone. It's, you know, the networking and the bandwidth and all the compression that goes on after it leaves your device, or as it leaves your device as a cell phone call. But if you're not on your phone when you're on your cell phone, if you're on Skype when you're on your cell phone, then then you're not subjecting your audio to the same kind of processing and compression. Skype is really great because it has really good dynamic range, outrageously good frequency response, and most importantly, and you would notice this, and you've probably suffered like Jesus if you ever had a cell phone or if you have one now, Vic, Skype is full duplex audio, so you can actually interrupt each other and stuff like that. I don't mean that in the antagonistic sense, but you can, you know, you can hear someone start to speak and whatnot. But the cell phones, of course, have these noise gates, and they're sort of half duplex, almost like it's like full QSK Vox with ham radio is how cell phones actually work. But Skype is full duplex, and so it's really excellent to be able to actually talk to people. It's harder on your brain to have to sort of figure out and interpolate what people are saying when you've got that kind of frequency response and dynamic range compression, plus the cumbersome aspect of treating a cell phone like a walkie-talkie with a half duplex audio. But it's easier to focus on the conversation itself, instead of struggling to understand what's being said, to hear what's being said, and then mentally comprehend the content, the meaning of what's being said. It's just much easier to communicate via Skype. I don't know whether you have Skype on your computer and if you've Skyped with people or not. With a good pair of headphones and a decent microphone, my God, it's a come-to-Jesus moment when you finally put Skype up and operate with it, KB8UYJ.
Yes, I've operated with Skype before, but I sort of dropped it. I've been using Google Voice, which gives me free telephone almost anywhere in the United States. So, I'm not that much of an audiophile anyway, and I just find it more convenient to use the Google Voice because I can use my standard telephone and. For me at least, it's far more convenient. I don't have to wear a headphone or plug anything into the computer.
Yeah, Roger that. I have received a partial briefing just recently. I'm going to get a fuller one from a serious tech boy friend of mine on Google Voice. You can use it anywhere you are in the world and all sorts of other. There's lots of interesting things about Google Voice. In fact, I have an old telephone number for an interactive two-way beeper service that I might port over to Google Voice so that I can use it that way. What I'm talking about, though, Vic, is a Skype-to-Skype connection. When you're going Skype-to-Skype, the superior dynamic range and frequency response is very noticeable. Even if you're an old person who doesn't have a lot of frequency response and so forth, the superior dynamic range, just the crispness of the audio, is really excellent. But Skype to cell or Skype to landline or something like, you probably wouldn't notice much of an improvement in audio quality. I'm sure Marty has a lot of technical stuff to say about it, but he may be dead in the water for all we know. Marty, you might want to just put out one of those Horton Hears a Who sort of little noises there if you're still radio functional, KB8UYJ.
He's off. I don't know why. Anyway, yes, my Skype experience was very pleasant audio-wise, extremely crisp, clean audio, no background noise. It was excellent. But against that, I had to run my computer in order to run the Skype. And with Google Voice, all you have to do is make the initial contact, and then it's all on the standard landline, which I find more convenient.
Yeah, Roger that. I'll be looking into that. Of course, I don't have a landline here, and my laptop computer isn't even internet capable at the moment. So my online stuff, whether I'm listening to the web stream of the LibertyNet or in its chat room or Skyping people or browsing the web, there's a lot of interesting articles in Der Spiegel I've been reading. I'm sure you've been reading the same articles in the past few weeks on various subjects. All of that stuff I do off of my cell phone. And so for me, there's nothing to really plug in or hook up. I just leave Skype running constantly on my phone, and it doesn't really burn through my data plan if nobody's calling me or I'm not calling anybody. But if somebody calls me, it rings my phone, and I answer a Skype call instead of a cell phone call just fine. So that's the benefits of having a very good high-end smartphone. It's just amazingly ergonomic, one of these things.
That sounds very good. And there will be no problem using Google Voice on that either. It is quite adaptable to cell phones, and in fact, they promote your connecting your cell phone to it.
That's right. My tech guru friend uses Google Voice almost entirely on his smartphone, only occasionally on his computer at home. He's most of the time out and about, so yes, Google Voice is on his phone, and it enables him to make free calls to people in various countries where he has relatives and so forth.
Anyway, I've got to hit the sack once again. I've been doing that now for the past hour or so, so I've got to get off here. And thanks for checking in, and we'll look for you next time, Des. W1WCR going to say so long for now.
All right. Well, good to hear you're in good health. Very good to hear Vern in such good health. And good that Marty is on the mend, and that his radio operations are also on the mend. Good night to Al Parker, if you're still listening, and to anybody else. KB8UYJ, monitoring out, maybe show up tomorrow night, 73 all.